It's time for CBB 365 with your hosts, Adam Hipsky and Patrick Dallahan.
All right, we finally made it to March. Our bracket is set. We did a live show yesterday reacting to the bracket. It went really well. Thank you guys all for listening. But it's about damn time. It's the first time since 2019 we had a bracket. The Virginia Cavaliers, still the reigning champions. And that being said, we're going to get into it. We're going to review the bracket. We're going to give our thoughts, upsets, picks, literally everything. We're going to do it. Let's go. So getting into it, our one seeds for this year's tournament, Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois, and Michigan in that order. Guys, what do we think about the one seeds? Do we think Alabama was robbed? Do you think it's in the correct order? Like, what's the word?
I think they nailed the one seeds. I think that when you look at Alabama, they just didn't have enough run. They didn't have the resume that I think outlasted Michigan, even if they're playing better basketball right now. I still think that Michigan was deserving of the one seed. Both of those teams, Alabama and Michigan, have super tough second round matchups. Alabama has a potential game in the 2-7 against UConn, and Michigan has a 1-8 potential matchup with LSU, which I think both are potential upsets. But we're going to start with some matchups. The first four, they will all be taking place Wednesday, Thursday. That's going to operate a little differently than what we're used to. We're used to having two of the first four games on Wednesday and the other two on Tuesday. This year, all four on Thursday. They're going to be at 5:10, 6:30, 8:40, and 9:57. And those will be at Assembly Hall, home of the IU Hoosiers, and Mackey Arena, home of the Purdue Boilermakers. So first off, the 2-16 matchups will be Texas Southern, Mount St. Mary's. The winner of that will play Michigan, and then Appalachian State and Norfolk State. The winner of that will play the number one overall seed, Gonzaga. And then the 11 seed matchups are very interesting. The bubble teams will start with Drake, Wichita State. The selection committee gives the mid-majors a nod. Wichita State is in, and Drake is in. They'll be playing the play-in game. The winner of that game will be playing in the 6-11 matchup against
USC. Against the Mobley brothers. That's a really tough draw for both of those teams. Mm-hmm. I think Klein's going to unmute right now and say that the Mobley brothers suck. Obligatory, the Mobley brothers suck.
They do, but I was just going to say Drake over Louisville. We have never seen a mid-major get a nod like that. Not in a while, anyways.
Yeah. The thing that Louisville fans are really mad about was Syracuse over Louisville.
The thing that killed Louisville were their two huge losses, losing by 45 to North Carolina, as well as losing by 37 to Wisconsin back in December. I mean, those two, when two of their seven losses, come like that, I mean, what can you say? I mean, you're just getting obliterated, and as well as losing to Duke in the ACC tournament, that of course didn't help them either. I still thought at the time, even after Louisville lost to Duke in the ACC tournament, I still thought they would be in, but nope, they give Drake the nod. I don't know how I feel about it.
You loved Drake in the beginning of the year.
I wouldn't say I love of them. I like that they won every game against the spread, which I think is really hard to do. They were like 15-0 against the spread. I thought that was like impossible. So big ups to Drake for that. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm not a huge fan of the Missouri Valley this year. I think that Loyola Chicago is a tad overrated. And I think that they're going to have trouble in the first round against Loyola Chicago. And I think that even if they had been moved to a 7 or even a 6 seed, I still think they would have had upset potential written all over them.
Yeah.
It's not consistent. None of them are
Chicago guys were consistent. Screwed in their seeding because they're the 8 seed.
Yeah, so Drake, Wichita State, first round. Then the second, first four games, going to be Michigan State, UCLA. A very rare matchup between two, you could say, blue bloods. I mean, I'm not sure that everyone's going to agree that Michigan State's a blue blood, but UCLA certainly is. Hold on,
let's take a vote. Klein, do you think Michigan State's a blue blood?
No.
100%. They're one of the core six teams of college basketball.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, I'll go in the no category on that one.
The only reason you say no is because you're a Michigan fan.
Definitely not, but I think that they should win a national championship recently.
Their most recent national championship is more recent than Michigan's most recent national championship.
And your point is, I didn't say Michigan's a blue blood.
Fair.
But Michigan State, UCLA, Michigan State sneaks in, even though they had a first-round tournament exit against Maryland. UCLA is they were the fifth Pac-12 team in.
Yep.
In a league that we weren't really thinking that they were going to get five bids, but they do. UCLA will play in the first four against Michigan State. Do we want to go for our winners for these four games?
Just one more thing about this game. I do think that the winner of this game beats BYU.
Agreed.
In the opening round. I think BYU stinks.
I will stand by Michigan State to the Elite Eight.
January, February, Izzo, April, etc.
Okay, so I'm also going to roll with Michigan State. I'll go Michigan State, Wichita State, Appalachian State, and Texas Southern. Those are going to be my four winners.
Yeah, I agree. Those are good ones. I have Michigan State. I have Wichita State, and I have Texas Southern, and who's the last one?
Appalachian State,
yes. But moving on to the actual brackets. So obviously Gonzaga's route to the title Gonzaga's route to the Final Four is very, very, very easy. They've beaten the 2, 3, and 4 seed in their respective bracket, and they beat them all pretty badly. So can we say now that they'll have a cakewalk to the Final Four?
Yeah, well, you talk about Virginia, who's undergoing some COVID difficulty right now, as well as Kansas, who's the 3 seed, and they're going to be without Jalen Wilson, who's their star player. Kansas is in the danger zone where I don't know who's going to be their go-to guy. I mean, you still have Marcus Garrett, but without Jalen Wilson, their main source of offense. Kansas is very dangerously close to losing first round as well as second round.
I don't think they'll lose first round. That's just my opinion. But I do think that they're guaranteed a loss in the second round to USC.
I don't know. I don't know if – I like the Wichita State Drake winner in that one. I mean, I think that'll be a good game, but I could see even them beating USC. But anyways, Kansas, COVID, Virginia, COVID, they beat both of those teams already. And Iowa, I think, is a terrible matchup for Gonzaga. So, yeah, Gonzaga, I mean, there's not a single team in here that I think really has a good chance against them from what we've seen.
In this bracket.
Yeah. In this bracket, Creighton's not a very strong 5 seed. We saw them just get obliterated against Georgetown. So, winner and coming out of there is Gonzaga. A team to look for, in my opinion, is Oregon coming from the 7 spot. I could see them in the round of 32 definitely making it to the second weekend, beating Iowa. Dana Altman obviously always steps up in March, so I don't think this year will be any different. I like Oregon as a sleeper team.
I think one of the harder games that Oregon might end up facing if they were to make a run would be their first game against VCU. I think if they can sort of get rolling and get off their loss to Oregon State in the Pac-12 tournament, then I could see them taking it all the way to the Elite Eight or even maybe the Final Four.
Whoa.
I really like Oregon.
Yeah. I do too.
I'm not quite there yet with Oregon.
And the other thing for me is the 12-5 upsets. Everyone seems to love UCSB. Creighton's going to win this game.
Yeah, in our CBB 365 bracket challenge, I picked Creighton over UCSB purely because they just had a big loss, and I do think that they're going to bounce back. So,
I don't know. But, I think, so that's the West.
Moving on to the South. Baylor doesn't have a particularly easy route.
No. The one storyline or the one team to watch here is Villanova rebounding after the loss of Colin Gillespie. They've lost, what is it, three in a row since he's gone out with an injury?
No, they've lost two in a row.
Two in a row, won in their first game in the Big East tournament to the eventual champs, Georgetown. But how Villanova plays, Winthrop's no joke, 23-1 coming out of the Big South. So Villanova's got a really – I mean, this is a 12-5 that's going to be a popular upset pick, especially with the way Villanova has been trending as of late without Colin Gillespie. He's a big part in what they do, and without him, I mean, I can't see them making it to the second weekend. Purdue has a pretty good shot to get to the second weekend. They could potentially – pose a matchup a nightmare for Baylor. I like their defense against Baylor's offense.
Also,
especially, you know, the interior.
Also, someone that could be a problem for Baylor as well is the 8 seed North Carolina.
Yeah,
they're playing they didn't do particularly well in the ACC tournament, but that doesn't mean they're not playing good basketball. They ended the regular season on a fantastic note. And
they're
a big athletic group, and they have the ability. They definitely have the experience to go and do something.
They were pretty close to advancing to that final. I mean, they were heading into the tournament with the win against Duke, two wins against Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, destroyed Notre Dame, and then only lost.
Didn't they murder Florida State as well?
What?
Didn't UNC kill Florida State as well?
When?
Like a couple weeks ago.
No, they beat them by 8. But I like UNC. I like what they could do. I think that they get past Wisconsin 8-9, and I think that's a good round of 32 matchup against Baylor. But Baylor, I definitely think that they got a tough region. Gonzaga, and you could say that Michigan's regions also has a pretty good path to get to the Final Four. But Illinois and Baylor, which we'll get into in the Midwest, but no, I mean, no doubt that there's plenty of teams that could come out of this one. Ohio State got the 2 seed. I like Ohio State. I think they're playing good basketball right now. Florida is another team that's, you know, has shown that they're capable of you know, making some noise in the NCAA tournament. Arkansas, Texas Tech, a lot of teams are teams to watch. You know, of course, everyone's got their eyes on Baylor and beating Baylor, but which team could knock them off? I don't know.
A team to keep your eye on also is Arkansas.
Yeah.
Arkansas, the must bus is rolling. But moving on, let's go to the Midwest region, highlighted by the number one seed Fighting Illini and Io DeSunmu and Kofi Coburn, who just ran through the Big Ten tournament. Like, there was really no one. Like, Ohio State competed with them, but that was really it.
Yeah. No, they handled Rutgers. They handled Iowa. So they move in to the NCAA tournament with the one seed. They're facing the Drexel Dragons, which is just an awesome name. So we'll see that matchup. Obviously, Illinois will take care of that one. But I think the matchup to watch here in the first round is Loyola Chicago-Georgia Tech, the 8-9 matchup. Georgia Tech, Josh Pastner, fresh off of an ACC tournament championship.
And fresh off of a scoop there it is style ice cream party.
Scoop there it is. So, yeah, Georgia Tech's playing great basketball right now. They've got the ACC Player of the Year, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. And they've got a plethora of guys that could step up here in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I like their chances. I mean, that if they were to get past Loyola Chicago, I think that's a great game. I think they could cause a lot. I think they were a little underseeded at the 9 slot. I thought with the way that they were playing now, obviously they had some horrible losses at the beginning of the season to Georgia State and Mercer. But, I mean, they have won 8 games in a row. You know, so I thought heading into the tournament, they're playing as good a basketball as anyone in the country. And a dangerous team in the 9 slot. And Loyola Chicago, I don't think they want to see Georgia Tech, especially with how well they're playing. But nonetheless, they're going to have a tough matchup, no matter who comes out of that one in the second round against Illinois.
Yeah, I personally have Georgia Tech topping the Ramblers in the first round. I do think they're going to lose in the second round to Illinois. But you know who got screwed in the seeding system, in my opinion, was Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
I think they should be a 3 seed. I don't believe that West Virginia has played well all year, but Oklahoma State swept them, did they not?
Yeah, no, I mean, Oklahoma State's playing great. They're another team that in the Big 12, I thought they would be a 2 or a 3. I thought they could play into even a 2. They didn't get it. Texas got a 3 as well, which I thought was a little surprising. But
after winning your conference championship and having the regular season that they did, it's kind of hard to not make them like a 3 or 4. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, 28.
Yeah.
So, Oklahoma State, I like them to get to the second weekend. I think that they can handle Liberty and then Tennessee, a very inconsistent, very streaky team. Or Oregon State, who's playing good basketball, but I still like Oklahoma State to get to the second weekend. That'll be a great game. Io DeSumo and Cade Cunningham.
The battle for the best point guard in the country.
Could be.
In the bottom hand of that bracket, someone to keep an eye on is Houston. I personally don't have Houston making it to the regional final. I have West Virginia making it to the final in the last regional purely because of the big man play of Derek Culver. I don't think Houston has anyone that can really do anything to stop him.
Yeah, in West Virginia, what's different is this West Virginia team is significantly different than a typical West Virginia team that we see. You know, you talk about Press Virginia, you know, a really good defensively team. Not saying West Virginia is bad defensively this year, but they're certainly not at the defensive prowess that they usually are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still like them to make it to the second weekend. I think they'll beat San Diego State or Syracuse, whichever one they'll see. I personally think it'll be San Diego State. I think that they'll beat Syracuse.
Ooh.
But
fine thoughts.
I don't know. San Diego State has not played a 2-3 zone all year.
San Diego State's also on like a 15-game winning streak right now, so I don't think it matters.
They beat San Jose State at the local YMCA.
No, I mean, I think San Diego State, I don't know. One thing that I think Oklahoma State, you could plug them in here in any seed of the lower half of the bracket, and they would make it to the regional final.
I agree.
Put them in the 15 spot against Houston, and I think they beat Houston and move on to the Elite Eight. I think that they're the second best team in the region. Problem is, first best, they have to play in the Sweet 16. So, an unfortunate draw for the Cowboys. We'll see how Cade Cunningham and company do, but that's the Midwest region. And then one last regional breakdown before we'll get into our upset picks and then our final four. From the East bracket, the number one seed, Michigan. Any teams to watch from you two?
Texas. I have Texas coming out of the region.
I think I kind of touched on them earlier in the episode, but UConn and LSU, I think, are two really dangerous teams. Once again, a tough draw for them, having to play Alabama and Michigan in the second round. But, I mean.
And both of those teams have tough first round matchups as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maryland could beat UConn and Bonnies could beat LSU. I could see either of those upsets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone's talking about LSU. You know, State Bonaventure is definitely no pushover. So I could see it. I think LSU poses a tougher matchup for Michigan than St. Bonaventure does, but I still think St. Bonaventure can hang in there with LSU and win that one. My team to watch in this bracket is going to be UConn. They've played really well since the return of James Booknight, even though their run in the Big East tournament wasn't as long as expected. And they lost to Creighton.
Here's the thing. If I'm UConn, I'd rather lose then, because did you see like how like banged up and tired they were during the Creighton game?
Yeah.
Like
no, I mean,
James Booknight after the DePaul game had to get carried off the court like LeBron James in the finals.
That was hilarious though.
Klein, go ahead.
Breaking moves.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna moo.
No, moo.
Indiana has checked in with Boston Celtics coach Brad Stevens regarding their vacant head coaching spot.
No way.
There exists a mutual sense of interest between the two sides, I'm told.
From who?
Is this your source? Is this your BC source?
Maybe.
Is it spin? Possibly.
No.
Are you sure?
I am.
Oh, shoot.
No.
Wow, that's actually like, are you gonna tweet that?
I just did.
He did.
That's huge news.
It's not, nobody signed anyone.
Yeah, I know, but that's still like, that would be interesting.
No, that'd be absurd if he actually does go to IU. I'd be mad, I'd be very upset if he did.
But,
anyways, back to the bracket.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
A little bit about UConn. I don't think Danny Hurley will be able to figure out Alabama. Danny Hurley, great recruiter, great recruiter, excellent recruiter, sells the program well, can't coach. Lost.
I mean, you want to talk about him going up against on the path to a Final Four? He would have to, I mean, in all likelihood, play Nate Oates, play against Shaka Smart's team, and then get a Juwan Howard or a Leonard Hamilton. I mean, those are four guys who can consistently outcoach Danny Hurley.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you there. I mean, it's going to have to be James Booknight. It's going to have to take over.
Offense consists of five dribble handoffs and a contested three-pointer at the top of the key. That's all they do. It's not going to fly.
We'll see. I mean, Alabama, if you catch them on an off-shooting night.
Yeah.
That's a good
Alabama's
point.
Not hitting.
Yeah, they play like the 2018 Houston Rockets. 2018-19 Houston Rockets, I want to say, where they just shoot a million threes a game. And then if they miss 27 threes in a row like that Rockets team did, they're screwed.
Yeah, no, they definitely.
We can see them do what they did to LSU in the regular season.
Yeah, I also, speaking of LSU, I also like them. I mean, they've got a top five offense in the country. They don't play defense very well at all, not even in the top 100 of defensive efficiency. But Cam Thomas, I mean, that kid has a good shooting night, and I don't see LSU getting beatable.
Dude, in the first half of the SEC championship game, he was pulling from everywhere.
If he's got a night where those are going in, if the shoe fits. I'm taking LSU against pretty much everyone. I mean, if he can come out of the gate.
Pretty much everyone minus Baylor, minus Illinois, minus Gonzaga.
If you have a hot Cameron Thomas and Trenton Wofford's playing well, they can beat Illinois. They can beat Baylor. Don't know if they can put up enough points.
I don't think
they can. Gonzaga. I mean, I think he would definitely have a tougher matchup against Baylor. But, I mean, if he's hitting. I don't know. He's dangerous. He's a dangerous player in March. He can get buckets on the stretch for them. He hits his free throws. I mean, he can get to the cup. He'll get fouled. When you convert 88% from the line, I mean, kid's going to be dangerous. So, I like LSU in the East. Obviously, Michigan without Isaiah Livers will be interesting to see how that plays out. They've only played one game this season. That's the main reason him.
I actually have Texas coming out of the region.
Yeah. I also think that maybe if Michigan it works out for Michigan because I do think that their draw is a little bit better than Illinois', but if Michigan would have not lost Isaiah Livers, and probably if they would have had Isaiah Livers, probably would have won that Ohio State game. They probably would have been the number three overall seed instead of Illinois. And however, they are not. And maybe Michigan got a little lucky. There's no lack of tough matchups. I mean, LSU, possibly Florida State in the Sweet 16. I mean, all of those are really tough matchups for them. So, okay, so that's our four regional breakdowns. First, we're going to go one upset pick. What constitutes an upset? I personally say 5-12 or higher. Like a 12-13, 14-15, 16. I don't know about 11-6.
10-7, 8-9, definitely not. I think 11-6 is an upset.
Okay, I'll go first. I like Ohio over Virginia. I like Jason Preston. I think Ohio can beat Virginia. So that'll be my one upset pick. That's a 13 over a 4. One to note, there are two 15 seeds I like. One, I'm excited to watch Rick Pitino just because Rick Pitino is an NCAA tournament and Louisville is not. We had to note it because it is true that Rick Pitino is in the NCAA tournament. Now, do I think that they have any chance to beat Alabama? No. But still going to be fun to watch them. Also, I like Oral Roberts because Oral Roberts could be a fun team to watch. And I think they could give Ohio State maybe a little scare.
A team that I like is Colgate. Colgate is solid, although they did trick the net system this year. They shoot the three at an incredibly high rate, and they shoot it well. They have a similar play style to both Alabama and LSU where they just chuck, and I love that. And another team that right now is really hot is Georgetown. I think Georgetown will beat Colorado in the first round.
Sure. I got a couple in mind, and I guess I will start with one that would kind of be a little bit of a bummer, and I'm not necessarily sure I'm rooting for this to happen. But Liberty to take out Oklahoma State. I would hate to see Kate Cunningham go down in the first round. But Liberty is really solid. They did not need to win the A-10 championship. The A-Sun championship in order to make the tournament because their opponent was banned, I believe, from the NCAA tournament. But they did anyways. Northern Alabama, I think it was. They far and away are the best team in that conference. They had two big wins early in the season over Power Five opponents, and I think they could do it again here. Eastern Washington over Kansas, not necessarily because of Eastern Washington's extreme skill, but just because Kansas is going to be dealing and is dealing with COVID. It looks like they're going to be without Jalen Wilson. They'll be getting David McCormick back for his first game in a while. So Kansas, I could see them getting out to a slow start, and I could see it being enough to throw them off to the point where they can't recover, and Eastern Washington pulls off an upset. And then third is UNC Greensboro. Isaiah Miller, he is the CJ McCollum type player who just kind of takes over a march and goes down as one of those one-year upset wonders, and it very much could be over Florida State. Florida State, I think, is always going to be competitive with their length and with their size, but UNC Greensboro, who has gone to the tournament a few times in the last decade, as probably their biggest team in that stretch. So I think if they're built in any year to handle Florida State in the front court, I would say it's this year, plus Isaiah Miller.
Isaiah Miller is really good. Like, someone that gets slept on a lot purely because he's on he's not on a Power 5 team. He averages just under 20 points per game, 19.7. Really athletic finisher at the rim. I really like him. I don't think that they'll be able to do much in this year's tournament purely because of their draw, but I'm going to be excited to watch them play.
All right, and that'll do it for our March Madness breakdown. We have our one great takeaway. Oh, Final Fours. Yes. Okay. Who wants to kick that off? Actually, I'll kick it off. West region, I'll take Gonzaga. East region, even though this is a really tough pick, I'll go Alabama just because of their potential that they have. From the Midwest, I'm going to go Illinois here. South, I will take Baylor. That's a lot of chalk. That's 3 1s and a 2, but I don't know. I like the 1 seeds matchups.
Yeah. But for mine, I'd have to go out of the West, I'd take Gonzaga. Out of the South, I'd take Baylor. Out of the Midwest, I'd take Illinois. And out of the South, I'd take – not out of the South. Out of the East, I'd take Texas. Purely because Texas is a really, really good team. Like, they've played well all year. They're well coached. They sometimes lack with discipline when it comes to fouling. That's something that'll be interesting in such high pressure and intense games. We saw that hurt them against Villanova. But I do like their athleticism. I do like their ability to shoot the three. I like their size. And I think that's going to propel them to come out of the East region and go all the way to the Final Four.
And another thing about Texas, great on a neutral court, 5-0 on a neutral court this season. They won in the Maui Asheville, went 3-0 there, beat North Carolina. And then in the Big 12 tournament, won the two games that they had to play there. So they're 5-0 on a neutral court this year, something to watch for. Texas obviously plays well away from home, so we'll see.
I have Baylor, Illinois, Alabama, Oregon.
Whoa.
Oregon Gonzaga.
I don't like that.
I like Oregon to get there. I think Oregon will get to the Elite Eight now. I just don't think that they have the firepower to beat Gonzaga.
That's bold. That's really – is this in one of your – what is it?
9 trillion brackets so that I can – so that I'm guaranteed to get one at least perfect?
Yeah. Is this in
– It is. That is one of the possible combinations.
So, and then we'll – those are the final fours we have. Now all one great takeaway. One great takeaway – wants to kick that off.
I will. Rick Pitino going to the he's the third coach ever to go to the tournament with 5 different.
Yeah, you said that in the last episode.
That wasn't my one great takeaway,
but you said it.
Okay, fine. Jay Billis tweeted a fun fact today that was a good one. Yeah, that 1 seeds are 139 and 1 against 16 seeds all time. So let's see if that can change this year.
I just denied your one great takeaway.
Yeah.
Your that one was, great takeaway was Kansas from the corner, and I was just Hakeem Warwick.
Or LeBron on the chase down. Patrick was Iguodala. And
blocked by blocked by James. Blocked by my birthday. Okay. Why'd you have to be so mean to me, man? What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Patrick. Just wanted to get that out there. Okay, mine is going to be there's nine. I saw this. I don't know if this is true or not, but the odds of a perfect bracket March Madness is 9.2 quintillion, which is a quintillion is 1 billion billion. So a billion times a billion, I guess. So pretty much impossible. And
a billion times a billion is.
I don't know.
It's whatever. One quintillion, and it's nine quintillion.
I don't know. But the other thing I love is everyone who fills out a paper bracket, like the week of the Sweet 16, and they're like, dude, look at this. Like, I have a perfect bracket. Yeah, you know, no one sees until the Sweet 16. You know, and then they go from there. You know, look, I got every game right. But I saw a fun fact that there are more – I don't know. Now that I think about it, there's just no chance this is true. But a quintillion, there's a better chance. There's more grains of sand on the ground than there is getting a shot at a perfect bracket, I guess. So basically,
that can't be true.
Now that I'm really thinking about it, it's definitely not. But still, my one great takeaway is going to be. 9.2 quintillion is the shot to get a perfect bracket.
And if you do, you get a lot of stuff from various platforms. I will say my one great takeaway is I'm hyped for the 8-9 games in this bracket. North Carolina, Wisconsin, I think has the potential to be the best game of the entire tournament. The guards of Wisconsin against the front court of North Carolina, and the winner of that game will presumably get to play Baylor, Loyola Chicago, Georgia Tech, and then LSU St. Bonaventure. We get to see one of those mid-major powerhouses go up against the Power 5 team. And then the final 8-9 game that I've not mentioned is Oklahoma-Missouri, which is another another interesting one because both of those teams have had really, really good moments and trips to the top 10 in the AP poll this season. And they've both had some lower moments, especially recently for Oklahoma. But that should be a very exciting, very fast paced and a very Big 12 feeling game between a Big 12 team and a former Big 12 team.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say something. Shucks, that's
annoying. I think that will wrap it up is what you're gonna say.
No, I was
gonna say that will wrap it up for the bracket preview on CB365. March is here. Stay tuned for all of our coverage. You can do that by following us on our socials at CBB365pod. That's on Instagram and Twitter, as well as checking us out on Colorcast. You can just download the app Colorcast and look up CB365. We will be going live throughout March Madness to discuss some college hoops. And I think that'll do it for this episode of CBB365. I'm Adam Hipsky alongside my co-host Patrick Dowhan. Happy birthday, Patrick, and our producer, Jake Klein. We will see you guys next week.